This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Tuesday, April 11th, 2017. Coming up this hour,
Janet Yellen shifts gears, moving focus from crisis management to steady growth gains.
Whole Foods stock surges after an activist investor pushes for a sale of the company.
Shares of LVMH rise to a record after reporting quarterly sales pointing to a possible rebound in luxury goods.
Secretary of State Tillerson and foreign diplomats meet on Syria and another deadly school shooting. I'm John Tucker. Those stories straight ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. A near-perfect home opener for the Yankees. They beat Tampa Bay. The Mets won in Philadelphia. The Nets lost to the Celtics.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
And a good Tuesday morning to you. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Michael Barr. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by National Realty, managers of New York City cash flow real estate, providing you 10 to 16% annualized returns with immediate monthly distributions. See them at nria.net.
And we check the markets for you every 15 minutes throughout the trading day here on Bloomberg Radio. It is 6:01 on Wall Street. S&P futures are currently unchanged. Dow futures lower by 4 points. NASDAQ futures are unchanged as well. In Europe, London's FTSE is higher by 0.2%. The CAC in Paris is unchanged. The DAX in Frankfurt down 0.1%. Tokyo's Nikkei closed lower by 0.25%. The Hang Seng closed lower by 0.75%. 10-year Treasury prices up 5/32, the yield at 2.3481. West Texas Intermediate crude is down 0.25% at $52.94 a barrel. Brent crude lower by 0.2% to $55.86. COMEX gold prices are up 0.33%, $4.50 an ounce to $12.5840. The pound trading at $1.2418. The euro at $1.0607, and the yen at $110.67.
Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen says the U.S. economy is growing at a moderate pace and that policymakers are close to reaching their full employment and 2% inflation objectives. Speaking at the University of Michigan yesterday, Yellen said the Fed will continue to give the economy some gas, but not too much.
We think it's appropriate to gradually raise the federal funds rate toward a more neutral stance if the economy continues to perform in line with our expectations.
Yellen also stressed the importance of raising rates at the appropriate speed.
If the economy ends up overheating and inflation threatens to rise well above our target, we don't want to be in a position where we have to raise rates rapidly, which could conceivably cause another recession. So we want to be ahead of the curve and not behind it.
The Fed has penciled in two additional rate hikes this year on top of one executed in March.
And we're watching some corporate stories out of Europe this morning. For more on that, we bring in Bloomberg's Mark Barton live from our London bureau. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Bob and Michael. The world's biggest mining company, BHP Billiton, is working with Goldman Sachs on its response to activist investor Elliott Management, according to people with knowledge of the matter. Yesterday, hedge fund billionaire Paul Singers Elliott issued a letter to BHP seeking a spin-off of the miner's estimated $22 billion of U.S. oil assets, higher returns for investors, and changes to its stock exchange listings. Meanwhile, LVMH shares rising to a record today after reporting first quarter sales that far exceeded estimates, as both the fashion and drinks units benefited from a rebound in demand across the industry. LVMH joins luxury goods providers such as Hermes and Gucci owner Kering in reporting a turnaround after several years of ebbing demand in China and a slowdown in travel to Europe. Dialog Semiconductors, the worst performer on the Stock 600 today, shares sinking as much as 36%, the most since 2000, after an analyst warned that Apple probably will cut back on use of the company's power management chips. Yes, the analyst is Karsten Iltgen at Bankhaus Lampe. He says there's strong evidence that Apple's developing its own power management integrated circuits and intends to replace the chip made by Dialog in at least in part. Apple dominates Dialog's supply chain. The UK-based chipmaker gets about 74% of its sales from Apple. Mark Barton, Bloomberg Daybreak, London.
Mark, thank you, sir. Let's head to Asia now for a look at how equities fared in the region today. For that, we bring in Bloomberg Sophie Kamarudin from our Hong Kong Bureau.
Well, Michael and Bob, it was risk off in Asia today with Haven assets bid up on mounting geopolitical concerns, gold holding gains, and the yen stronger for a second day. So Japanese shares snapping a two-day advance and the Hang Seng sliding for a fourth day. But stocks on the mainland staged a rebound to erase losses, but the KOSPI getting hammered, falling for a sixth straight session, along with the Korean won, which led Asian Forex lower. Sophie Kamarudin, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
Sophie, thank you. In Japan, meantime, Toshiba reported earnings after failing to do so twice before. Still, the results have not been approved by its auditor. The company reported an operating loss of $5.2 billion for the last 9 months of last year and issued a warning about its ability to continue. Toshiba has been at odds with auditors over internal controls at its Westinghouse nuclear unit.
Here in the U.S., shares of Whole Foods gained 10% yesterday after activist investor Jana Partners said it acquired a stake in the company. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has the details.
Jana is suggesting that the organic food grocer consider putting itself up for sale. The investment firm announced an 8.3% stake in a filing, saying it will seek talks with management and push for a review of Whole Foods' strategic alternatives. Jana also may nominate at least three directors in a bid to help foster a turnaround. The supermarket chain, which helped pioneer the organic food movement, has been grappling with its worst sales slump in more than a decade. Six straight quarters of declining same-store sales have forced the company to close stores and rein in costs. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Charlie. Wells Fargo has rehired about 1,000 employees who were fired during the bank's fake account scandal. The workers lost their jobs after struggling to reach lofty sales targets. Wells Fargo's board has blamed former senior executives for sales objectives that led employees to open up fake accounts. U.S. stock index futures are little changed this morning. Stay with us for the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
It's 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's take a look at what's happening around the nation and around the world. Standing by, here is John Tucker. Good morning, John.
Good morning to you. The U.S., Gulf states, and European allies projected their unified opposition to Russia's backing of Syrian President Assad with an emergency meeting on the sidelines of the Group of Seven gathering in Italy today. The goal is to arm Secretary of State Rex Tillerson with a single strong message for Russian leaders when he travels to Moscow later today in the first visit by a U.S. cabinet official since President Trump took office in January. A senior U.S. official has told the Associated Press that Russia knew in advance of Syria's chemical weapons attack last week. Ed Baxter has more.
The source telling Associated Press that a Russian-operated drone flew over a hospital in Syria as victims of the attack were rushing in to get treatment. Hours after the drone left, a Russian-made fighter jet bombed the hospital in what American officials believe was an attempt to cover up the usage of those chemical weapons.
A spokeswoman for Russia's foreign ministry has dismissed the claims. Members of Congress on recess are hosting town halls in their home states, hearing what Americans think about the ongoing effort to repeal and replace Obamacare. Republican Congressman Justin Amash of Michigan hosted a gathering in Cedar Springs yesterday and said the GOP health care plan still needs changes.
I do think we need to repeal Obamacare, but we need to make sure we are taking into account everyone's concerns and finding some proposal that will make sure that our most vulnerable and our sickest are taken care of.
Authorities in San Bernardino, California, say a brief marriage and quick estrangement came before a man walked into his wife's elementary school class yesterday and opened fire without saying a word, killing her and an 8-year-old student and wounding a 9-year-old before fatally shooting himself. Video of police officers dragging a male passenger from an overbooked United Express flight at Chicago's O'Hare Airport has sparked outrage and scorn on social media. United Airlines parent company CEO Oscar Munoz defended the conduct of his employees, saying they followed procedures. But Chicago's aviation department placed on leave a security officer who dragged the man, a doctor, from the plane, leaving him with a bloody lip. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Michael.
John, thank you very much. Now with Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, here's John Stashower.
Michael, it was a near-perfect home opener for the Yankees, perfect weather, and for a while it looked like Michael Pineda, who had not won in any of his last 11 big league starts, was going to throw an actual perfect game. Evan Longoria broke it up with a seventh-inning double, an inning later Logan Morrison homered, and that was all Pineda allowed. He struck out 11, his best game in four seasons in pinstripes. Yanks got home runs from Aaron Judge, Chase Headley, Starlin Castro. They beat Tampa Bay 8-1. But the news on Gary Sanchez, not good. The young catcher, so outstanding second half of last season, is going to miss at least a month with an arm injury. The Mets in Philadelphia, 2-2, eighth inning.
Here's the 1-2 pitch. Swinging a high fly ball, deep to right field. Jay Bruce put it in orbit, into the second deck, here at Citizens Bank Park. Oh, the Bruce is loose, all right. His second home run of this game. It breaks the tie.
On WOR, second home of the night for Bruce, and already his fourth of the young season. Philly scored two in the first inning, one in the ninth, nothing in between. The Mets won 4-3. Although Jose Reyes went 0-4, he's 1-27. First time in 108 years, Cubs played a home game as a defending World Series champ. They scored bottom of the ninth. They beat the Dodgers 3-2. On a night where Brook Lopez became the Nets' all-time leading career scorer, moving past Buck Williams, they lost in Brooklyn to the Celtics 114-105. Cleveland didn't play LeBron James and Kyrie Irving, lost in overtime at Miami, and Boston leads the East by one game with one to play. From soccer, the United States with Canada and Mexico jointly made a bid to FIFA to host the World Cup in 2026. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Michael?
John, thank you very much. The NFL draft begins later this month, and for the first time, Nevada gambling regulators have approved a series of proposition bets on the results. The offerings are broad and include the number of players drafted from a particular college and which conference will have the most players drafted. Little change for U.S. futures. The 10-year yield is at 2.34%. The 2-year yield is at 1.25%. West Texas Intermediate trading at 52.96. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by Anshin Accounting, tax and advisory firms. The tax deadline is around the corner. Have you utilized all available tax credits? If the answer is no, it's time to call Anshin at 212-840-3456.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And good morning to you once again. I'm Bob Moon at Bloomberg World Headquarters. This Bloomberg Business Flash brought to you by Commonwealth Financial Network. When it's time to change the conversation, talk with a broker-dealer RIA that's ready to listen. Call 866-462-3638 or visit commonwealth.com to learn more. It is now 6:17 on Wall Street, and Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines from Chris Kirkham at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Bob. Janet Yellen is no longer putting the pedal to the metal. The Fed chair says policymakers' focus has shifted to sustaining growth. There could be another bidder for Panera Bread. According to the New York Post, Brazilian private equity firm 3G Capital is seriously considering making an offer for the bakery chain. In Japan, Toshiba finally reported its earnings, and they were worse than expected. The company added a going concern warning, saying it sees material uncertainty over its ability to keep trading. And Starbucks is offering quite a perk for its full-time employees in China. The coffee house chain will provide health insurance to cover the parents of its staff in the country. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Bob?
Chris, thank you very much. Again this morning, U.S. stock index futures barely budging while treasuries are higher. The 10-year yield at 2.3445. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, John.
Good morning to you, Bob. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson and top foreign diplomats are holding an urgent meeting in Italy to discuss the crisis in Syria. The meeting of foreign affairs leaders is taking place on the sidelines of the group of seven industrialized economies. It was an agonizing four-hour wait for parents and students who survived yesterday's shooting at a San Bernardino, California elementary school. Elizabeth Barris says her daughter had been sitting at her desk Monday morning when a gunman stormed into her classroom, shot and killed her teacher, a classmate, and wounded another child before the man killed himself. Video of security dragging a passenger from an overbooked United Express flight at Chicago's O'Hare Airport has sparked outrage and scorn on social media. Chicago's aviation department placed on leave a security officer who dragged the man from the plane, leaving him with a bloody lip. Bloomberg Sports, the Mets, Yankees, and Nationals and Giants all win. The Red Sox lose. Basketball action, the Celtics beat the Nets, the Wizards win, and the Warriors lose. Finally, from Daybreak, it may be hearsay for traditional tea drinkers, but microwaving your brew may be better for you. A study by a food scientist, Wang Vyong, found that microwaving does a better job of activating the antioxidants and amino acids that are linked to good health.
That means I have another reason to use the microwave. That's good.
The trick is to pour hot water in the cup with your tea bag. You heat it in the microwave for 30 seconds on half power and let it set for a minute. Too many instructions for me. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Intelligence, valuable industry data and analysis from independent experts, giving trading and investment professionals insight into where crucial industries stand today and where they may be heading next.
And good morning to you. Well, Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen, as we've been reporting, says the U.S. economy is growing at a moderate pace and that policymakers are close to reaching their full employment and 2% inflation objectives. Let's explore this now with Bloomberg Intelligence economist Carl Riccadonna. He's joining us on our phone line sponsored by Spectrum Enterprise, your nationwide provider of scalable fiber network services and managed cloud solutions. Carl Riccadonna, good morning. So what does it mean? We've gotten close to reaching full employment and 2% inflation.
Right. So I think Chair Yellen is looking at both underlying trend growth in the economy, where despite what is going to most likely and almost certainly be a very lousy Q1 performance, I'm projecting growth of about 1.3%. I know some tracking estimates are even lower and are flirting with a sub 1% number. Nonetheless, the underlying momentum in the economy seems to be roughly 2%. And on top of that, we have an unemployment rate that has now pushed all the way down to 4.5%. So Chair Yellen, as she steps back and looks at her dashboard of the economy, sees an economy that is very much normalized. But when she looks where the setting is for the Fed funds rate on that economy, she sees a dial that is really set at almost hyper-accommodative territory. So it's quite unusual to have an unemployment rate of 4.5% and interest rates set below 1%.
Time to reach into the metaphor chest and say we're not out of the woods yet, huh?
Not out of the woods yet, but the Fed, most importantly, does not want to be caught flat-footed when presuming things actually do catch on and the economy eases into a faster pace of growth, which at 4.5% unemployment, we should see more wage pressure, more consumer spending, more inflation, and faster growth overall. That doesn't mean that it's necessarily coming in the current quarter, but these trends should be more apparent towards the end of the year. And then as we get there, the Fed doesn't want to realize they have to go all the way from a sub 1% Fed funds rate up to something closer to 3% in a very short period of time, because that could have very unhealthy consequences for the economy.
Quickly here, just about a half minute left. At 10 this morning, Wall Street time, the Labor Department out with the job openings and labor turnover report. What's the Fed going to be looking for there?
What the Fed and economists will be looking for there, this will be February data. They'll look for some explanation of why we saw such a weak payroll report in March. So were job openings fading? Did something funny happen with the quit rate? Try to make sense of the unusual volatility in the pace of hiring between February and March.
Bloomberg Intelligence economist Carl Riccadonna, thank you very much. He joined us on our phone line sponsored by Spectrum Enterprise, your nationwide provider of scalable fiber network services and managed cloud solutions. And Bloomberg Intelligence provides unique real-time research and context on industries and all the market and government factors that impact business. Our terminal customers can access this function at BIGO. S&P futures right now unchanged. Dow futures higher by 6 points. NASDAQ futures are up a single point. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. This is Bloomberg Radio.
Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Instinct Equities from Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Your access to informed insights, market color, and unique liquidity. Instinct Equities, that's the power of global connections.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1200. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And good morning to you. It is 6:30 on Wall Street. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Michael Barr. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. The U.K. inflation rate in March remained at 2.3%, while it's unchanged from February. It is up from 0.5% a year ago. The increase over the past year reflects higher fuel costs and the pound's decline since June's Brexit vote.
The Fed is shifting gears. Chair Janet Yellen says the central bank's task has shifted from a post-crisis exercise of healing the economy to one aimed at holding on to progress made.
At 10 a.m. Wall Street time, the Labor Department issues data on job openings across the U.S. Economists forecast an increase to 5.6 million in February. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Dugice has more.
Today's data, which lag other employment numbers by a month, add context to the monthly payroll figures. In January, job openings rose to 5.626 million. The quits rate, which tracks the number of people who voluntarily leave their jobs, matched the post-recession high, a sign of confidence in the labor market. The national unemployment rate has been below 5% since May. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Vinny, thank you. In Japan, Toshiba is warning about its ability to continue as it finally reported earnings without getting auditor approval. The company, whose U.S. Westinghouse Electric nuclear power unit filed for bankruptcy, posted an operating loss of $5.2 billion for the 9 months ending December 31st.
Shares of LVMH rose to a record as the luxury goods leader reported sales that exceeded estimates. It is the biggest sign yet of a rebound in demand across the industry.
Shares of Dialog Semiconductor have lost nearly a quarter of their value today. An analyst warned that Apple probably will cut back on use of the company's power management chips.
Time now for the Volatility Index Report brought to you by CBOE. CBOE VIX Options and Futures. Volatility can be harnessed with CBOE VIX Options and Futures. See disclosures and learn more at cboe.com/powerfuloutcomesvix. The VIX rose 9% yesterday to close at 14.05. And separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX futures are up about 1% at 14.19. And that's this morning's Volatility Report.
Very little change in U.S. stock index futures this morning. S&P futures are unchanged. Dow futures up by just 4 points. NASDAQ futures are unchanged as well. In Europe, London's FTSE is up 0.6%. The CAC in Paris up 0.1%. The DAX in Frankfurt is down 0.1%. Stay with us for the latest world and national news. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak, and this is Bloomberg.
It's 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update is brought to you by the 1031 Real Estate Group. Turnkey investment properties fully rented with a downtown city location. Call 844-777-1031. That's 844-777-1031. And with a look around the world, here's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
Good morning to you, Michael. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson and top foreign diplomats are holding an urgent meeting in Italy. They're discussing the crisis in Syria. The meeting of foreign affairs leaders from like-minded countries taking place on the sidelines of the group of seven industrialized economies. Russia is stepping up support for the Taliban, complicating Western-led efforts to shore up the government in Afghanistan. Bloomberg's Eltaf Najafizadeh is in Kabul.
Several top U.S. generals and Afghan officials accused Russia of supplying arms and cash to the Taliban to undermine U.S. and NATO mission there. In response, Russia said that U.S. and Afghan administration is trying to justify its failures on the battlefield. Analysts in Kabul, they said that Russia and Taliban's close relationship based on military supplies will help undermine the already fragile nation of Afghanistan and embolden the group to succeed in the war against U.S. and Afghan forces.
Authorities say a brief marriage and quick estrangement came before a man walked into his wife's elementary school class and opened fire yesterday without saying a word, killing her and an 8-year-old student and wounding a 9-year-old student before fatally shooting himself. It happened in San Bernardino, California, yesterday. Alabama Governor Robert Bentley, governor no longer facing the threat of impeachment after the 74-year-old family values conservative allegedly used his office to try to cover up an affair. The governor resigned yesterday after he was charged with 2 misdemeanors.
Well, thank you and goodbye. And I love this state from the bottom of my heart and the people who live here. God bless you.
Donald Trump Jr. says he's not ruling out a possible run for office in the future, but he says he won't be a candidate for governor of New York next year. Trump has been rumored to be considering a move to follow his father's footsteps into politics, but in an interview Monday with the Associated Press, he denies any speculation he might challenge incumbent Governor Andrew Cuomo. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Michael.
John, thank you very much. Now with the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, here's John Stashower.
Michael, the Yankees have been waiting for 6 years for Michael Pineda to pitch like he did yesterday. Acquired from Seattle back in 2012, injured for all of his first 2 seasons, inconsistent since then. He chose the Yankee home opener to flirt with a perfect game. Lost it with 2 outs in the 7th inning on an Evan Longoria double, so Joe Girardi didn't have to make a decision on whether to let Pineda stay in and finish it.
You know, your thinking is it's going to be another special day here at the stadium. And obviously, he pitched really, really well today and thought he had a shot. His stuff was really good. His pitch count was down. And I start thinking of my head, okay, he gets through the 8th and he's at 100 pitches. How far do I let him go? And I would have sent him back out.
He took Pineda out 8th inning when he lost the shutout. Yanks then put the game away with 5 runs. Bottom of the 8th, they won the home opener over Tampa Bay 8-1. They're off tonight. The Yanks will start Jordan Montgomery tomorrow. A 6'6", 24-year-old lefty who impressed in spring training. He'll make his big league debut. But Gary Sanchez is going to be out for the next month with the arm injury suffered on Sunday. The Mets won 4-3 at Philadelphia. Jacob deGrom against Sharp. And Jay Bruce, the hero. Bruce struggled in his 2 months in New York last season after the trade with Cincinnati, batting just .219. He's hit 4 home runs the first week, 2 last night. Solo shot 4th inning, game-winning 2-run blast in the 8th. The NBA regular season almost over. Cleveland has led the East the whole way, but the Cavs lost in overtime at Miami. They were without both LeBron James and Kyrie Irving, and they won't play the season finale. Boston won at Brooklyn, 114-105. Celtics 1 game ahead, a win tomorrow over Milwaukee. The Celts will be the 1 seed in the East. Utah won at Golden State. That ends the Warriors' 14-game winning streak. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Michael?
John, thank you very much. In China, first quarter auto sales fell for the first time in at least 17 years. Demand dropped as the sales tax increased. Consumers there also boycotted Hyundai and Kia amid tensions with South Korea over a planned missile defense system. Sales of cars, SUVs, and multipurpose vehicles declined 1.7% in the quarter. Every vehicle category recorded drops except for SUVs. Meanwhile, Starbucks will start offering health insurance that covers the parents of its employees in China. Bloomberg's Brian Curtis has the details from our Hong Kong bureau.
It's an unusual offer by Starbucks that might be picked up by some 10,000 people. It's an appeal to traditional values in China, where children often care for their parents and grandparents. China still does not have a comprehensive safety net for the elderly. Starbucks says the plan will cover 30 common critical illnesses and will start in June. Why do it? Well, Executive Chairman Howard Schultz says we're living in a fragile world, and that means companies have a deeper responsibility for their employees. Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
Thank you, Brian. It's now time for the Bloomberg Green Business Report. The next time the police pull you over for speeding, they could be driving a fuel-efficient gas-electric hybrid. Ford Motor Company unveiled its version of the hybrid Fusion midsize sedan police car Monday in response to requests from cities nationwide. The new Ford Police Responder hybrid sedan has a 2-liter four-cylinder engine and a 1.4 kilowatt lithium-ion battery. And it's expected to get 38 miles per gallon in combined city highway driving. Now, that's 20 miles per gallon more than Ford's current police car, the Taurus Police Interceptor, with its 3.7-liter V6 engine. That will save police departments just under $4,000 in their gas budget. And just because it's a hybrid, it does not mean that it does not have the horses to catch crooks. It also has a pursuit mode to go 100 miles per hour to chase the bad guys. And that's a Bloomberg Green Business Report. It's 6:39 on Wall Street.
The following is from Bloomberg View, the opinion section of Bloomberg.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. What did Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer achieve in attempting to deny a vote on Neil Gorsuch's nomination to the Supreme Court? Not keeping Gorsuch off the court, not preserving the filibuster for use against any future nominee, not standing on principle. Schumer did, however, placate the resistance wing of the Democratic Party, which opposes any cooperation with Republicans. By caving to their demands, Schumer brought his conference temporary peace. But the price for the country is steep. If the Democrats' resistance wing calls the tune on other questions facing Congress, from infrastructure to trade to health care, Americans will be poorer for it. Schumer must decide whether he wants to be the leader of the Senate's Democrats or a follower of the party's activist base. The partisanship that has increasingly consumed Congress is now inflicting collateral damage on the courts. The long-term consequences for the country and for Schumer's legacy could be severe. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. For more View, please go to BloombergView.com or View Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
The Bloomberg View, brought to you by Benzelbusch Motor Car in Englewood, New Jersey, winner of the 2017 Dealer-Rated Dealer of the Year in New Jersey and Consumer Satisfaction Awards. Experience why and define the way you drive at BenzelBush.com.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And good morning to you once again from Bloomberg World Headquarters. I'm Bob Moon. This Bloomberg Radio Business Flash is brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSBDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. Now over to the First Word Breaking News Desk for today's morning call. And here's Romain Bostic. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. U.S. index futures are pointing to a relatively flat open today, in line with movements in Europe and Asia. Dow futures are down about 2 points. S&P lower by 1 point, and NASDAQ futures are down about 1.75. Haven assets are in demand with the yen, gold, and treasuries rising on geopolitical concerns, and oil is poised for its first loss in 6 days. Most industrial metals are retreating. European stocks were little changed, and the most sovereign bonds across that region slipped. Chinese equities traded in Hong Kong hit a one-month low, and shares in Seoul extended their longest losing streak since June. Back in the U.S., the government will update its outlook for global crop production. Corn volatility this morning rose the most in 5 weeks ahead of that release, which is due out of noon in Washington. Elsewhere, Minneapolis Fed President Neel Kashkari takes questions at an event later today, and President Trump will meet with the CEOs of about 20 companies, including the heads of BlackRock, Walmart, Pepsi, and GM. Live from the First Word Breaking News Desk, I'm Romain Bostic. Bob?
Thank you, Romain. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world.
And good morning, Bob. The U.S., Gulf states, and European allies projecting their unified opposition to Russia's backing of Syrian President Assad. They had an emergency meeting on the sidelines of the Group of Seven gathering in Italy today. A top federal regulator is proposing to keep the ban on cell phone calls on airliners, suspending a rulemaking that drew scornful comments from thousands of passengers aghast at sharing space with chattering seatmates. And Donald Trump Jr. says he's not ruling out a possible run for office in the future, but he says he won't be a candidate for governor of New York next year. Bloomberg Sports, Mets, Yankees, Nationals, and the Giants all win. The Red Sox lose. Basketball action, the Celtics beat the Nets. The Wizards win, and the Warriors lose. And from Bloomberg Daybreak this morning, so much for Fly the Friendly Skies of United. The U.S. carrier called the police to drag a seated passenger off a flight to Louisville, Kentucky after overbooking. A video of the Sunday night incident went viral. That's prompting global outrage and investigations. Michael, he was reportedly a doctor who didn't want to be bumped because he had patients on his schedule the next day.
This is a PR nightmare for United.
Adding to injury, the flight wasn't oversold. The airline actually wanted the seats for employees. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg.
The following is from Bloomberg View. Opinions and commentary from Bloomberg columnists.
I'm Justin Fox, a columnist for Bloomberg View. One of the odder arguments for Brexit is that leaving the European Union will enable the UK to become the new Singapore. That's right, the land of hope and glory, the world's fifth largest economy, wants to emulate its steamy little former colony. Yes, Singapore has been very successful economically, but which part of Singapore's recipe for success is it that the UK wants to follow? Is it the math-focused educational system? The huge salaries for public officials? The highly interventionist economic policy? The one-party rule and limits on free speech? The hostility toward chewing gum? In fact, those who argue that the post-Brexit UK could be another Singapore seem to be thinking mainly of cutting taxes and rolling back regulations. Indeed, Singapore's taxes are low, but there's a lot more to its success than that. I'm Justin Fox, a columnist for Bloomberg View. For more Bloomberg opinion and commentary, please go to BloombergView.com or View Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. Time now to check on what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Donald Trump meeting with corporate executives, including Walmart CEO Doug McMillon, GM CEO Mary Barra, and SpaceX CEO Elon Musk. The U.S. Special Envoy for Syria visits Washington for consultations at the White House and the State Department. And Secretary of State Rex Tillerson wraps up his meeting with G7 members in Italy, where the U.S. and its allies are showing unity when it comes to the situation in Syria. Let's get more on that now with Bloomberg News White House reporter Jennifer Epstein, who joins us on our phone line sponsored by Spectrum Enterprise, your nationwide provider of scalable fiber network services and managed cloud solutions. First of all, good morning, Jennifer. And let's talk about Secretary of State Rex Tillerson. He's wrapping up that meeting with the G7 members in Italy. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, you know, his message in Italy has been quite clear, and it's been also what we've heard from the White House directly from Press Secretary Sean Spicer yesterday, which is really that they're now trying to push Russia to give in a little bit. They're saying to Russia, you know, you're only on the side of Iran and North Korea, and the rest of the world is on the U.S. side in supporting some kind of action in Syria with the efforts, you know, to respond to the use of chemical weapons. And that seems to be where we are. And, you know, Tillerson is headed today to Moscow, and he's going to be meeting with the foreign minister and potentially with President Putin. So this is an important moment in U.S.-Russian relations, and it's also an important moment for the Trump administration to kind of show how it's going to lead.
Now, I want to come back to the meeting in Moscow in a second, but Tillerson, he met with like-minded countries. So on the sidelines of the G7 industrialized economies, in addition to the G7 countries, diplomats are attending from Jordan, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, and the United Arab Emirates. And that is important because the inclusion of the Middle East countries is important for the U.S. strategy for Syria involving enlisting help from those nations.
Right. Those countries have also expressed support for last week's attack on the airfield. So we're in a situation now where you have a lot of the regional allies, with the exception, the U.S.'s regional allies, on board, and you have really much of the region other than Iran and Syria kind of backing the same action. And that speaks of potentially, coming together for a bigger picture plan in the not too distant future. If you really do have all the G7 countries except for Russia on board, and then you also have, a bunch of these Arab countries on board.
Now, just a few moments ago, Italy's foreign minister says there is no consensus among the G7 members for new sanctions on Russia. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, I think that there clearly isn't, including that the Trump administration has been extremely reluctant and has at times signaled that they, in fact, want to roll back the existing sanctions on Russia. So I think we're a ways away from that, and I think that this Trump administration is hoping that just kind of pressuring is enough to get Russia to roll back its a little bit of its support for Syria, or to push the Assad regime to consider backing away from the use of chemical weapons.
Now let's go back to something we were talking about earlier. As you mentioned, Tillerson is heading to Russia, and he's going to meet with leaders there. And as they say, sometimes when you have a post on Facebook, this is going to be complicated.
Yeah. We know for sure that he will be meeting with the foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov. And the question is whether President Putin actually does meet with Secretary Tillerson. The three times that John Kerry, the last Secretary of State, visited Moscow during the second Obama term, he did get to meet with Putin, but on the third occasion, he ended up having to wait 3 hours, which is sort of a sign of disrespect. So it'll be, very interesting to see how Moscow handles this, and whether there is sort of some effort at really, trying to send a message just in the stagecraft of how this meeting goes down.
Bloomberg News White House reporter Jennifer Epstein joined us on the phone line, sponsored by Spectrum Enterprise, your nationwide provider of scalable fiber network services and managed cloud solutions. You can read more about this story on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And a reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Time now to take a look at what's coming up on Bloomberg Surveillance. And standing by, in for Tom Keene, is Pim Fox. What's coming up?
Well, we've got a lot going on today. We're going to be speaking with George Goncalves of Nomura, find out a little bit about treasuries and trading having to do with central banks, because we've learned that central banks, they're not so in love with U.S. treasuries. We'll find out why. Plus, we've got Bob Michael. He is J.P. Morgan's chief investment officer. He's going to tell us what happens if the stock market kind of stalls right where it is right now, because we're waiting for those earnings reports. And also Charles Dumas of Lombard Street Research. We're going to follow up on just what you were talking about, Michael, having to do with Rex Tillerson's meeting that's scheduled for tomorrow in Russia.
Pim Fox, thank you very much. Coming up on Bloomberg Surveillance, the future's pretty much little change. This is Bloomberg.